everyone, and welcome back to LID Radio Podcast. Today's inside knowledge comes from Kevin Duncan, who is a business advisor, marketing expert, and the author of many books, including his most recent title, The Intelligent Workbook. The topic we're going to cover today with Kevin is how to adapt to business change and create Plan Bs. Thanks for joining us today, Kevin, and please share with us your insider knowledge on this topic.
Thanks, everybody. So I'm going to share a few bits and pieces from The Intelligent Workbook, which is my attempt to help people mix verbal thought with visual ideas. Now, that's difficult to do with just audio, but let's give it a go. So there's a particular section in the book on planning. And one of the things that confuses people most about planning is the idea that once you've written a plan, that the plan is actually going to happen. Now, right now, of course, people are somewhat surprised probably to be working from home. And often you'll find that you're in a really unusual situation that you simply weren't expecting. So in other words, plan A isn't happening right now. And therefore, plan B or possibly C, D and many other ones will have to be engaged. You've probably all seen a lot of stories in the last week or so about how people are having tremendous difficulty working at home. Either simply because they're not used to it or because of all the distractions and other responsibilities that they don't ordinarily have when they visit a place of work. So the first piece of psychology, if you like, is to realize that pretty much all plans are fiction. So just because somebody writes or draws up a really beautifully presented plan, it doesn't mean at all that it's going to happen. And this is what we call the spurious authority of type. In other words, when something is typed, it makes it look really authoritative. But of course, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to happen at all. Now, interestingly, this is not just something that affects people, individuals. It's also something that affects entire companies. So, for example, a company may well put together, and they probably do, a year plan. And the interesting thing is that we all know really privately that just because the plan looks really interesting doesn't mean that it's going to happen that way at all. And so much more intelligent business planning uses a process or an approach which you would call iterative. And iterative planning means that you try something out to the best of your ability and then you see what reaction it gets. And so the metaphor, if you like, for people now when they're at home working would be, I don't actually know how this is going to work, but my initial plan is X. So I'm going to try X, but I'm going to be flexible enough to understand when X didn't quite work as I expected. So I'm now going to move on to Y, and I'm then going to take Y and I'm going to adjust Y, and then I'm going to move that into Z. And so if you like, that is a series of links in a chain with no particular preconception or fixed idea about exactly how something is going to come about. Because the more fixed you are in your position, the more likely you are to have some sort of panic when your original plan, let's call it plan A, doesn't work. Now, this has metaphor and simile as well for how people should work generally. And of course, we know that most people tend to procrastinate. And so what they do is they leave everything till the last minute, and then they produce something that probably isn't the best thing they could do. Whereas in fact, what they should do is do something that we call precrastination. You anticipate the stuff that's coming up, you bring it all forward, and then you get that work done early, which gives you a chance to course correct later before the critical deadline. And this is another point that I make in the book, and this is the distinction between live lines and deadlines. Everyone knows what a deadline is, but the interesting thing about a deadline is that it's incredibly short. So even if it's a major launch of a product, it's only going to last a day, maybe a couple of hours. So the deadline is the moment by which the thing has to be done. And people focus far too much on that and dread it, if you like. But what they should do is concentrate on the live line, which is the entire run of time between now, the instigation of the project, and the end, which will indeed be the deadline. And I think what's going to be very interesting, and I'm hoping people can benefit from this when they're working at home, is that in a strange sort of way, right now, they're going to be finding that they've got a lot more time on their hands than they thought. So if we take the basic principle that almost everybody says, oh, I had a great day on Tuesday because I was working from home and it was amazing. I felt like I got a whole week's worth of stuff done because I wasn't interrupted. So what I'm hoping is that in this rather unusual time, people will be able to realize that they've got significantly more time. And instead of getting bored, they could actually bring forward and work through really methodically a lot of stuff which they often would not have the opportunity to do if they were working in an office and constantly being interrupted. So those are some thoughts from the Intelligent Workbook.
You mentioned a really interesting point, which was the procrastination. And I just wanted you to go into more detail on that topic, because uncertainty is the word that we're hearing most lately. And a key question I have is, how can you make a plan when you don't know what to prepare for or what to be prepared for?
Yeah, that's a brilliant rhetorical question, isn't it? Because one answer to it, of course, is you can't make a plan. The interesting thing about plans is that really all they are is a rough guesstimation of what you think is going to be a suitable approach to the task. There's a lovely old quote from Mike Tyson who said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. And so the point is that it's being adaptable that matters, not the plan, full stop. So when I talk about procrastination, what we're really discussing is that panicked people, flustered, who don't really know what they're doing or haven't thought about it first of all, tend to just react to everything. And as such, they make it up as they go along. Now, we're taking it as read that most people are intelligent and professional, and within reason, when they're tasked with something to do, they have a pretty good idea, if they're allowed to think carefully, of how you should approach that thing. Now, after they approach it in that way, it may need adjustment as it goes along, but they should be broad-minded enough and professional and equipped well enough to adjust as they go along. So what I would recommend is that instead of just having a pile of things to do, which people keep putting off, which, by the way, we can be perhaps a little bit more lenient about if we know that someone's in an office and being constantly harassed by everybody else. But when you're at home, you really do have a genuinely blank slate to decide what you want to do today and what sequence you want to do it in and what time you want to allocate to each task. And really, therefore, the quality of thinking should go up tremendously. So I would encourage people to look at all their stuff for the day or the week. And instead of leaving it all till Friday or till 4 o'clock, I would bring the whole lot forward, get it all sorted out in a sequence that suits you, and crack on with it that way.
In terms of how companies plan their work and how individuals each work at home, do you think that this current situation we're in will change the dynamics going forward about how people work intelligently and how they prioritize and organize their work?
I would love it if that were an outcome of this, because it's been something that's getting worse and worse and worse, by which I mean well-meaning, conscientious, diligent people going into offices and just finding that they are permanently swamped all day, repeat, repeat, repeat. Now, really, if someone's got enough control or influence, if you like, over their work, then they shouldn't be in that position. The most common examples we have of this, of course, are people in more junior positions who have difficulty saying no, often to multiple bosses, and therefore they end up with a huge, huge pile of stuff to do and not necessarily any shape to it or any reason for why half these things are being done. And they don't feel that they can tell people, no, I don't think we should do that, or we shouldn't do that yet, or whatever the degree of priority is. So wouldn't it be a great thing if a whole generation of people could essentially think, that was interesting. I spent X number of weeks working at home, being my own master of my tasks, and that taught me how to do it in a better way. And I can then bring that experience back to the office when people are allowed to go back into offices, and perhaps therefore conduct themselves in a somewhat calmer and more even-handed way when they get back to the office.
Thanks for taking the time to chat with us today, Kevin. It's been very interesting and very insightful. You've covered a load of interesting topics, which I think people will find very useful, especially now that they have a lot more time at home to consider their work-life balance. Thanks to all our listeners for joining us today for another episode of LID Radio, the Insider Knowledge series. Keep an eye on all of our social media channels so you can see further updates about more inside knowledge from many leading experts such as Kevin Duncan. I've been your host, Tesaro, and we'll see you next time for another episode of Inside Knowledge. Goodbye.